Good morning and welcome again to a new Sunday, an autumnal day in October. I don't know where the time is gone, but now 7 months since we've been in this lockdown and things don't look so good at the moment. And I wanted this morning to put in perspective where we as Christians, where we have hope in the midst of tribulations, of difficult times like this, where we have especially God's promises with us. Because at the end of the day, all we got left in moments like this, in times like this, is to hang on dearly, for dear life, to God's promises. I want to start with a promise that is so incredible. A promise that sets the scene for me, and I hope for all of us, for the weeks to come. As you know, I finished Psalm 23, and I like to look now at some more promises in the Scripture. Never has been more significant for us as Christians to look at God's promises and how we can hold on to them like this time now. Listen to those words as we start this worship time together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Let that sink in for a minute. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never. His mercies never, ever come to an end. They are new every morning they are new. His love, his mercies, new, steadfast, forever and ever and ever. This is God's promise to us as God's people. This is God's promise to all of us who trust and follow him. I hope that this service finds you well, that you and your family are well, and that the Lord is blessing you at this time with his peace and with joy, with hope and with grace. Let me just pray as we start this service together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to listen again to your word, to worship in our homes, to find intimacy in our hearts with you, with our families, from the comfort of our own sofas and homes. We thank you that you're a God of grace. We thank you that you're a God of love. We thank you that you're a God of promises. You keep your promises day by day. And it is in you and you alone that we trust. Because you are a God of steadfast love, of mercies who are in you every morning. And on that we depend. Lord, bless us as we come into your presence. Bless us as we listen to songs, as we listen to your message, as we celebrate together your goodness, your love, your faithfulness, and indeed your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new.
I am thankful for family, friends, my home, and pets.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
Shall we pray? Lord, you are greater than the coronavirus. You are more powerful than any disease. Restore every family, Lord, that is losing hope. Touch the children who are suffering. You are mighty. Thank you for sustaining everyone in the middle of this trying time. Please take away any fear that the virus has caused and replace it with your great love. Amen.
Well, welcome back. And as I said at the beginning of the service, I would like to look at a new series of messages that is almost second part of Psalm 23, as we look at some of the incredible promises that Psalm 23 made through David, as God is our shepherd, an incredible promise of guidance. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He lead us beside quiet waters of incredible presence as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, and fantastic abundance and provision for us as he prepares a table before our enemies. So I'd like to look now at a new series of sermons on God's promises. And I think it's never been a better time than now to reaffirm some of those incredible promises of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's faithfulness, provision to us, as it is now during this time of lockdown, of coronavirus, as things seem to be still not very good at the moment. And God's timing is always perfect. A few months ago, I felt this burden to preach on these promises, and I've never felt quite right it was the right time, but now it is the right time. And as I pencil those in, I'd like to look with you, to explore with you some of God's promises as they've been given to people at some of the most crucial crunch times in their lives, in their walk with God. People in the scripture, people who walk with God for many years, people who walk with God recently or only had a few weeks or few months with him, who were desperate in their situation, and yet God intervened and remembered of He reminded them of his promises. This is what I want to do in this new series, looking at God's promises with you between now and Christmas. I don't know, about 70-something days to Christmas is coming. And Christmas will be different, probably from any other Christmases that we ever seen or heard or ever experienced as such. We don't know whether we're going to have a service as such in church. We don't know where we're going to be at Christmas and what's going to happen. But we know one thing for sure, that Christ, God, through Holy Spirit, is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so this is the beginning of this sermon, of this message for this morning, where I like with you with verse at Hebrews 13, verse 5, where it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have." How important is for this time that we live in just now to learn to be content? To learn to be content with who we are, with what we have, with God, and rely on him and his promises at this time. Godliness plus contentment is a great gain. That's what Timothy reminds us all the time. Now listen what he says, the second part of the verse. "Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I want to start with this promise this morning. I want to hum in this promise, to bring it home to you, that God will never leave you, never will he forsake you. I know we believe this with our heads. I know we kind of, okay, react to it now, just now as we listen to these words. That's another sermon. I've heard this so many times. But I want to work on this with you this morning to show you how God really means this, that even as we go to the valley of the shadows of death, God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. His mercies are new every morning. As part of my study, I've been looking at those two large Bible study engines on the internet. One is YouVersion of the Bible, and the other one is Bible Gateway, that a lot of people use these days for scripture verses, for devotional and so on. And since millions of people, millions usually use these websites, they offer a good insight, a good snapshot of what people are concerned about. And you know what the first three, four, five things even came up on this engines, what people have been searching for, what they are worried about this at this time. A new version reporting more search verses were Philippians 4:6, 2 Timothy 1:7, and Matthew 6:33. Bible Gateway put John 3:16 at the top, but then that's followed by Jeremiah 29:11, and then has Psalm 23. The next 11 points that they make is all about Psalm 23. A lot of people have been researching Psalm 23. I felt so vindicated that I've done a sermon on Psalm 23. And thank you again for your prayers, for your concerns, for your encouragement to me as you enjoyed those incredible reassurances that came from God's word from Psalm 23. And I hope that this new series will do the same. Now, in times like this, we need the promises of God, as I said. We need hope that goes beyond the newest articles about flattening the curve. I had, not that I had enough, but I just, you turn the TV on and it's all this kind of news here, or the latest pronouncements from some politician that is doom and gloom. More than ever, we need to hear from God, His reassurance, His love, almost like a child who's been upset, who's been punished, who's disturbed, who is confused, who is almost lost. We need reassurance from a parent, so we need the reassurance of God through His promises. There is one chap called Everett Storms who set out to answer the question, how many promises of God are there in the scripture for His people? And it came out that from Genesis to Revelation, there are 7487, 7,487 promises from God to man, to woman, to His people, to the Israelites in the scripture. That means that one in every four verses in the scripture is a promise from God to you and to me. One in every four verses in scripture is God's promise. And we all have burdens and concerns this morning. We'll have burdens and concerns at this time during this lockdown and coronavirus. And there are things that keeps us awake at night. What will tomorrow bring? Will our health hold up? What about our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren? Will we end up in a nursing home? Will I get the corona? What if something happens to my relatives, to my beloved, to my loved one? Who will take care of us in old age? We all have questions that we cannot answer. And that's why Christianity is not a religion that gives answer, but it is a relationship that gives reassurance. I want you to remember that God doesn't give us answers. He gives us reassurance through His promises. Recent headlines lockdown time, things, you know, headlines that don't help and that don't give reassurance are like, panic hits global markets. It does. Excuse me. Anxiety grips companies across the world. Most daunting virus in a half century. The food chain is breaking. And I love this one. Shoppers throw punches over toilet paper. This is where we come to, and this is the time that we live through at the moment. The coronavirus pandemic reminds us that we are not in charge. In fact, we have never been in charge. We will never be in charge of the world. God is in charge. And He would like to bring those reassurances to us. In these uncertain times, days, we need to focus on the promises of God. Here are a few truths, three truths that ought to encourage us. Number one is this: don't worry about tomorrow because God is already there. Don't worry about what tomorrow brings. He is there and He will be there with you. God's promise, number two, He promises to be with you no matter what happens to you. And this is true today, tomorrow, and it's true for the day after tomorrow till the rest of eternity. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, from Psalm 23, if you remember. You cannot you and I cannot outlive God's mercy. His steadfast love endures forever. His mercies are new every morning, every morning. I did a run this morning, and absolute beautiful sunrise as you was coming. It's a shame I didn't have my camera with me. Absolutely superb, the color of the sky, so vibrant red as the sun was coming out. And then guess what? As I was running back, just at the end of almost 1 hour of running, out of nowhere, clouds in the sky, no rain, no anything, this beautiful rainbow of a halo. Absolutely remind us of God's promise and love. And it encouraged me so much, as I knew that I'm coming here to preach about God's promises. A rainbow was a sign of God's love and promise. And I just saw it this morning out of nowhere. Just no rain, no clouds, no anything. It was God's rainbow in the sky as I was coming back home, coming down from Hela, down towards home. No matter where you are, God's promises to be with you. God certainly has you on his heart. You are engraved on the palm of his hand, and he will never let you go. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that's what I want us to remember this morning. So very quickly, I want to use a couple of illustrations from the scripture where God comes and intervenes in people's lives, at crossroads of life where they needed him, where they've been facing difficulties, and God's promise comes in and says, I will be with you. One of them is Jacob. You remember the Old Testament character of Jacob, Jacob the cheater. And these are the words of the Lord that spoke to Jacob when he was running away from his problems. In Genesis 28, verse 15, the verse will be on the screen for you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Until I have done what I have promised you. Genesis 28, verse 15. Jacob has been on the road for 2 days when he gets this message from God. He's been running because he stole the inheritance from his brother Esau and then deceived his father into giving him a blessing meant for his brother. It was a right cheat. That double deceit destroyed his family and enraged his brother who wanted to kill him. And he was now on the run. His family fracture, he runs for his life. That night, with a stone under his head as a pillow, sleeping in the wilderness, under the starry sky, he dreams of angels coming and going on this very ladder that was stretching up to heaven. And God has never, ever, up to this point, spoken directly to Jacob. To his grandfather, Abraham, yes. To his father, Isaac, of course he did. To Jacob, no. This is the first time ever that God comes to speak to him. And I'm sure the last thing Jacob, I'm really, really confident of this, that the last thing Jacob expected to hear that night when he runs away, when he knows that he's in trouble, that he's done wrong, is to hear God's voice. But this is how God works. This is who God is, that his steadfast love pursues. His mercies are new every morning. And even when we've done wrong, he comes to reassure us of his love and his care. This is the God that we love and we worship and we follow. That is not only when we are at the best behavior that he loves us. Unlike people, or even churches, or even pastors, God loves us unconditionally as we put our trust in him. C.S. Lewis called pain God's megaphone to rouse a sleeping world. The Lord whispers in our pleasure, but he shouts in our pain. Now at last, Jacob is ready to listen to the Lord, because the Lord has been trying to speak to him before, but he hadn't had the time to listen to him. When the painful truth finally catches up with Jacob, he has nowhere to go. Why did he cheat? Well, we don't know. Probably he thought, if God were here, I wouldn't have to do things this way. He thought that God was absent in his problems, in his struggles, in his difficulties. Many of us think God is absent during this time that we go through. Where is he at this moment in time? And here is God's message. Jacob, I'm near to you than I've ever been before. I was with you when you tricked Esau and when you deceived your father. I am with you when you are running your life. God wants to say to you, I have been with you when you were all going well in your life, when you had health, when you had money, when you had no worries, when everything was good for you. But I'm also with you now when you're struggling financially, with your health, in your relationships, and even with your trust and faith in me. I am with you. I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. I want you to hear those words, because those are God's promises. They don't come from me as a human being, but comes from God through me, through His Spirit. I hope that those are God's word, and I'm sure they are God's word for you to encourage you this morning. At this point, Jacob feels guilty about his past, fearful of the future, and uncertain of the present. Do you identify with that? Because I do, many a times. To all of that, God simply saying, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I have promised you that I will do this, and I will do it. I will bring you back to the land, and I will do it. Incredible that when Jacob cheated the most, when he was at the end of his rope, God comes in with reassurance. He will do this for you, and he does it when you need him the most. A second example that I want to use is about Israel. Very terrifying experience here. The scene shifts to the Jews as they get to the eastern side of Jordan River. Moses is now an old man and about to die. He led them through so many things, through wilderness, through the Red Sea. He's come to the end of his life. And knowing the enemies his people would face as they enter Canaan, he gives this amazing promise in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, says this: Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. Who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Amazing promise. When Moses says, don't be terrified or afraid of them, he's talking about the pagan nations surrounding the Jews. The list includes the Hivites, the Hittites, all those people that were there. And it's a daunting list, a huge problem here. I read recently a book that somebody has lent it to me, looking at Winston Churchill's life from a Christian point of view. Very interesting, as such, as this book and affirming that he was indeed a Christian who followed God very, very closely. And it looks especially at the first year of Churchill's life as a prime minister. And his first speech as the prime minister, Churchill spoke with brutal honesty. And he said this: I have nothing to offer but blood, tears and sweat. Blood, tears, toil, tears and sweat. The following years proved the truth of his words, because Britain went to war and it was a very difficult time. That's all they could offer: blood, toil, tears and sweat. The Israelites in the same situation face a mad problem. If you stack up the armies, they were way too few compared to how many the enemies were there. But if God is with you, why would you be afraid? And Israel had to learn this lesson, that although they are few in numbers, they have the promise of God, that God is with them and God will fight for them and will win the battle for them. The third example that I want to use very quickly is Joshua, a very fearful man here. We run, now when we move a little bit forward from Moses to Joshua, Joshua takes the place of Moses. He takes his leadership, he takes the baton on, and he moves the people of Israel to cross the Jordan into the promised land. The question is God going to come through for Joshua too? And here's the promise that God brings to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. As you think about this incredible promise, don't overlook this phrase: as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. because we think God has been in the past with us, or with X, with Y, with Z, but he will not be with us now or in the future. Joshua knew all about Moses because he had been his right-hand man for many, many years, for over 40 years. Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Joshua was there. When opened the Red Sea, when Moses opened the Red Sea and people went through, like through a dry land, Joshua was there. When the plagues came, Joshua went there. So he witnessed that. And God says, look, what I've done with Joshua, with Moses, and what I promised to him, and what you've seen me doing in and through him, I will do the same with you and through you and for you. But above everything else, I will not abandon you, and I will be with you in everything you do. When the people of God moved on in fear, God's promise comes to them and says, I am with you. For 40 years, Joshua witnessed how God worked through Moses. It's not a promise of an easy road. No, it isn't. Of an incredible ultimate victory. You will still have the battles, but the victory will be mine, the Lord says. You'll still have difficulties, but I will be with you, the Lord says. I will not take the troubles away from you. I will be there with you as I have promised. So we look at these incredible examples from the scripture. We look at Jacob, we look at the Israelites, we look very briefly at Joshua. Let me give you one more example, and I'm going to close with. And Solomon. Solomon was a very timid king. Solomon was a very wise guy, a very young, handsome, very wise king that Israel had. And as King David grew older, he wanted to build the temple for the Lord in Jerusalem. But the Lord told him he couldn't build it because he was a man of blood. So the Lord did not allow him to do that kind of work. And God's house must be built by a man of peace. And there it is. There it comes on the scene, Solomon, to build God's wonderful, magnificent temple. To restore, which was at that time, an image of God's presence in the midst of his people. And here is David's encouragement to his son in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He won't leave you or abandon you until all the work for the service of the Lord's house is finished. That's a heavy load to lay on a young man who's just becoming king. Solomon was the wisest on earth, but he followed the man after God's own heart. Joshua followed Moses, and that was hard enough, but Moses wasn't his father. It's hard to be the son of a famous man. David was a natural leader, a gifted poet, and he was a mighty warrior, a man after God's own heart. Solomon had some very big shoes to fill in. How would you like to follow a man like that? We get a glimpse of the pressure he faced when David asked the leaders of the nation to support his son. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 says, my son Solomon, God has chosen him alone. He's young and inexperienced. The Hebrew word translated inexperienced can also mean tender or delicate or timid. Solomon the timid. Clearly, David wondered if his son was really up to the task. But at the same time, he reminds him it's not up to his skills, to his wisdom, to his incredible good looks. It's up to God, because God's promise to be with him is all that matters. And that's what I want to remind you this morning. In the midst of difficulties and crossroads, in the midst of challenges that we face, that we think are impossible and unsurmountable, God is with us, with the timid, with the fearful, with the worried, with the people who are on the hospital beds, who are struggling financially, who are anxious, who are lacking peace. God says to you this morning, I am with you. I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. My love is steadfast for you. My mercies are new every morning for you. I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. This is God's word to you for this morning. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will finish the work that he called you to do. Everything God has for us is contained in these simple words. Hebrews 13 verse 5. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let me remind you one more of this teaching. God is with you. It's the first promise that you need to learn to let it sink in deeply into your heart, into your spirit, into your mind, and remind yourself every morning you get up, his steadfast love is forever. His mercies are new every morning. Lord, I claim this promise for me. Think about it this way. He is not only with you, he is way ahead of you. He is there at 11 o'clock later on, at 12 o'clock, tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock, whether you're in hospital, whether you're facing a challenge, whether you are an employee, whether you don't know what the future holds, God is ahead of you. He is there, he's prepared a place, and he's waiting for you with open arms. He goes before his people step by step. This is such an incredible truth to get hold of during this time. Are you worried about next week? He is already there. What about the doctor's appointment that is coming up for you? He is already there. What about the tough decisions that you have to make regarding your job, finance, house, mortgage, whatever? He is already there. He is there to help. It would be enough if God worked with you through the events of life, but he does much more than that. He goes ahead of us, clearing the way, arranging the details, so when you get there, you can have confidence that God has already been there before you. He is at work in the future while we live with him through his Spirit in the present. May the Lord bless you as you listen to this message. And I'd like to close with this very important truth. I passed over one part of Jacob's story so that I could mention it now. This is the time to mention it in the end of this message. When Jacob awoke from his dream, he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And I did not know it. I did not know it. Genesis 28 verse 16. How typical of us. We think the Lord is only with us when we are in church, when it's sunny, when we have a lovely walk, no worries, no financial difficulties, and we paid our mortgage. God has not forgotten and is with us to the every step of the way, when we are by the green pastures, but also when we go to the valley of the shadow of death. God is with us. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Get that truth into your heart and into your mind. Learn that very deeply and claim that promise every morning. Surely God is with me to whatever difficulties I might face him today. Where is God when you need him? He is there with you. Always been there with you. Open your eyes and you will see him. Often we don't pay attention to the Lord until tragedies like this strike. Then at last we look up to heaven and say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I had no idea. I didn't know. This brings us back to that great promise. You are never alone because God is with you. I will never leave you. Carry this with you all the time. Open it up in the morning. Look at your hand and say, I will never leave you. Promise of God. Verse 5, Hebrews 13, when 13 we think is a tough number. Remember this, 13:5, I will never leave you. Amen. God bless you and be with you. He is already and ahead of you. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me.
Let us pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus told us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So thank you for listening to the message this morning, for engaging in worship and allowing God to speak to you. And I hope he has to your heart, to your soul, to your spirit this morning. I'd like to leave you with another promise of God as a blessing, one very well known for us, but putting in the context of I'll never leave you, never forsake you, I'll always be with you. Matthew 28, we know the very well promise that God gives to all those who go to make disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, until the very end of the age. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace and reassurance of his presence. Amen.